I want to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 21, Revelation chapter 21 today. I've had the privilege of teaching through the book of Revelation several times, and about three times in my 30 years of being in the ministry. And I love the book, and most preachers are right. It is a difficult book, but it's not a book that you can't understand. If you'll just bear in mind that you interpret it literally. Don't try to categorize or allegorize the whole book of the Revelation. That's not the way it is. It's a great book. It's a fascinating book. By the way, it's the only book of prophecy, as the pastor said the other night, in the New Testament. And what's it covering? End times. What are we living in? End times. So if you want to see what's going on in the world in which you and I live in today, get in this book and dig in and ask God to reveal to you the things that he wants you to get from here, because we are living in the last of the last days. I believe that with all my heart. I've always felt that I would possibly live to see maybe the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I may not. I don't have that ability. I can't see that far in the future. I don't know how much time I have. I may drop dead up here preaching. I found out recently I have high blood pressure. So you add all that to all the other stuff going on. Listen, I'm not Moses. My force is abated. I can't do what I could do 20 years ago, and my eye hath dimmed. Amen. I just can't see very good. I've got to watch it reading the scriptures, because even though it's improving, it's still difficult. Okay? But I do know this is a great book. I don't want you to be afraid to read it. It is a book that you will need some help. Pastor said he'd give you a couple of books to check out or to purchase, and it'll kind of help you along. And there are some good ones out there. So we'll let him give you those recommendations. But listen, we're living in those days. I mean, look around you. They're saying that the Revelation talks about in the end times, there'll be a measure of wheat that'll be sold for what? A penny. Do you know what that is? That's a day's wages to buy enough to feed one person. Think about that. One day's wages to buy enough to feed one person. We went to the grocery store just the other day and did a little shopping. And I'm like, I couldn't believe the prices of some of this stuff out there. You know, and they got all kinds of excuses. You know, the eggs are high because they say bird flu got a bunch of the chickens. But it doesn't hurt broilers. Listen, I ain't stupid. I grew up in the country. A chicken's a chicken. Okay, they can lay eggs and you can cook them. I know they have different ones for whatever. But what I'm saying is it's all this. I was reading of this guy last night who, I forget his name, Sam, I think, whatever it is. Anyway, he started this company and it was like a coin, Bitcoin type thing. And he lost $23 billion in one day. But hey, that's not bad. He didn't get hurt too bad. But think of the people who invested in his company and how they lost every. I read one of the investment firms invested $120 million in his company. The hedge fund lost it all. They're not going to get a penny of it back. We're living in tough times. I want to talk to you today about something that, you know, I when I preached the last time here, it's been a while back. I don't even remember how long ago it's been. That doesn't bother me at all. But I thought, well, I think the next time I preach, I'll preach this message. And I entitled it "The Only Sin That Can Send You to Hell." You may think that's kind of crazy, but just listen to the message and understand that there's really only one sin that will send a person to hell. Am I right? I mean, how many of you have heard someone say, well, that's a drunk, and that drunkard, because he's a drunk, he's going to hell. No, he's not going to hell because he's a drunk. Well, that woman's a evil, vile woman, and she's wicked, and she's going to hell because she does what she does. No. I've had people say, all homosexuals are going to hell. Is that true? No. No, it's not. I want you to look here in Revelation chapter 21 with me. We'll begin reading there in verse number 1. And I saw a new heaven. Oh, why don't you stand? I'm like pastor. I always had my people stand all the time. I had people come into church. Oh, why do we have to stand for the reading of the Word of God? Go back to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, and you will find, and I have a message on that, three things that will bring revival in anywhere. Number one, the Word of God must be what? Listened to. Go back to Nehemiah and read that. You'll find it when they opened that book, the people stood up and they stood for the better part of a day while the Word of God was being read. Number two, it must be learned from. They explained the meaning of it. And number three, it must be lived by. Listen to, learn from, live by. Simple message. It's a good message, though. I can preach that thing. I can almost preach it now. Let's go on to chapter 21, verse number 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. That day's coming. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for those former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Father, we love you today. We thank you for loving us. And Lord, we know that you have proven your love to us in the giving of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, to be the Savior of the world, and each one of us personally that have believed in him. Today, Father, we're assembled here together in this place, and we're gathered in the name of Jesus, your Son, and we ask for your presence. We ask for your power. We ask for your peace. Lord, I pray that you'd send the Holy Spirit and that he'd speak to our hearts, convict our hearts. And Father, if there be a lost soul here today, be it man, woman, boy, or girl, may today be the day, Father, that they come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, I'm nothing. I'm an instrument. I'm a vessel. I'm unclean, I'm unfit to be where you have put me, but Lord, you call me. And so Lord, I want you to just look beyond my flaws. And Father, I want you to speak through me as you speak to me, to these dear souls that are gathered here today. And Father, we also want to lift up our pastor and his wife as they're away. And Lord, I pray you give them a relaxing time, an enjoyable time. And Father, bring them back refreshed and ready to go. I also pray for the many who are out of our services today that are sick. And Lord, I pray you'd mend and strengthen and heal and get them back with us. And Lord, we love you. We thank you for being with us and at all times. And Lord, we just ask for your presence now. And we thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. We ask with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Go ahead and be seated if you would. I've already told you what I want to talk to you about. I want you to understand that there's really only one sin that will actually send a person to hell. And that's the truth. There are many of us who have our opinions about sin. We all have a list of you know, we can make a list of sins. Most of us probably think, sin, and we categorize sin. We rate them based upon what we believe or what we feel or what we've been taught. Most of us put sins like murder, adultery, or, you know, robbery at the top of the list. And maybe that's rightly so. Maybe homosexuality might be at the top of the list. And those are some sins that are, you know, we consider to be vile and corrupt sins. Most often, the sins that we commit on a regular basis are normally where on the list? Way down there at the bottom. Well, listen, you know, it's not as bad as murder, right? Not as bad as, you know, being this or doing that. It's a sin, but it's not a bad sin. Let me ask you a question today. What sin did Adam commit
What did he commit?
Disobedience. Did he commit murder? The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Did Adam commit murder? No. Did he commit adultery? Did he steal? What did he do? He took a piece of fruit and he took a bite. What was his sin? Disobedience to the word of God. God said, do not eat it. And Adam ate. Is Adam's sin any worse than my sin or your sin? No. And yet, look what happened. Where we're at today because of that sin. We need to understand something. Sin is sin. How many sins does it take to make one a sinner? One sin. Okay? The Bible gives us a very clear definitions, some definitions of sin. It defines sin for us in basically four passages of Scripture. And I'll read those to you in just a moment here. But I want to ask you a question. What is sin? Can somebody tell me? Anybody want to volunteer? I know this is not something that normally done. It's not a rhetorical question. Tell me what you think sin is. Disobeying the word of God? Okay. All right. Anybody else? Anybody else? Come on, help me today. I know you're not used to this because I know Pastor likes to ask a lot of rhetorical questions and he asks them and answers them. And I can do that too, okay? But I just want to find out what you think. What do you think sin is? Lying? Okay, good. I mean, hey, we have a whole list of them right here in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Right? Well, let's see what the Bible defines as sin. If you want to look there, you can look it up. It's 1 John chapter 3, verse number 4. You can write it down and look it up later, but I'm going to read it to you. Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. That's what sin is. It's a transgression of the law. Now, you know, we say, all right, well, I broke the law. No, you didn't break the law. You can't break the law. You transgressed. You crossed over. You stepped across it. But you didn't break the law. You just transgressed against the law. You crossed over the law. When I drive down the road, I'm not as bad as I used to be, thank God. But I used to be really bad about speeding. I still am, but I'm not really bad. I still speed some. But I used to really speed like a whole lot, okay? When I was a kid, I had a 70 model 442 Oldsmobile. And I've had that thing, the speedometer. Everybody know what those, ever have one of those cars or know anything about them? Okay. The speedometer went from 0 to 120, had a space about that much at the bottom, and then it would go back up. I had it, the space, and back up. I don't know how fast I was doing. I wound it up. I passed a cop sitting on the side of the road. He was backed up into it. I know you're a policeman, brother. He was backed up. He was backed up, and he was sitting in his car in a spot in a cornfield. I couldn't hardly see him until I got on him. When I flew by him, here's what he did. He flashed his lights, and I saw him lean up, and he did this. He never pulled out. Why? No way he's going to catch me. No way. No way. Now, did I break the law? No, the law is still there. It's still good. But I was transgressing big time. If he'd have caught me, I'd have been in big trouble. By the way, don't do that. That was stupid. I was young and thought I was invincible. If I would have blown a tire out, I'd have been a dead duck. And by the way, if I'd have blown a tire out and died, I'd have been in hell. I'd be there right now still today. Don't do that. That's crazy, young folks. I don't advise that. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you I did it. It was stupid. Don't do that kind of stuff, okay? All right? So that's sin is a transgression of the law, all right? James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. So that's a real simple one. We know what's right. Amen? We know what's wrong, right? Correct. We know what's right. We know what's wrong. If we know that we're to do something right and we don't do it, then that is sin. That's what the Bible says. 1 John 5:17 says, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin unto death. So, all unrighteousness is a big word for just simply not doing right. We're to do what's right all the time. That's easier said than done, isn't it? Romans 14:23 says, And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not in faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So if we do something that's not in faith, it's in sin. We're doing it in sin. A simple definition really of sin, and based on these verses, would be do what's right. If you don't, you're sinning. That's a simple definition, okay? I mean, you can take all that and summarize it down. We know what's right, all right? Every one of us here today is old enough to know what's right and what's wrong, correct? Pretty much. I don't see there's no, we got one little baby back there, one infant, and bless her heart, she has no clue yet what's going on. But she will one day, Lord willing. But we all know what's right and wrong. Now, what we do is we try to say, I'm not sure it's going to hurt anything. It's not going to hurt anybody, right? Come on, it just involves me. By the way, there's nothing you can do that just involves you. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. Everything, every action you and I take has reaction, consequences. It affects our parents, our families, our friends, or whatever. Okay, I back in Pensacola, Florida, there was a guy down there in Mobile, Alabama, who I think he murdered his wife. I believe it was. Anyway, he murdered someone, and the police arrested him. They caught up with him and arrested him. I think he murdered him, put him in a freezer for a while, and they got him and they arrested him. And they're leading him. And he's got his handcuffs on, and he's going to the car like this. And what he says is, he walks by the camera that's there, the news camera. Jesus is my Savior. I know the Lord is my Savior. I'm trusting Him. And I'm sitting there watching that, and I'm like, mister, please don't tell the lost world out there that Jesus is your Savior. You're crazy. Don't damage Christ and His reputation by saying that He's, basically sanctioned what you did, because you're wrong. We love to justify our sin today by blaming the cause of it on somebody else, don't we? Oh, well, my parents didn't love me enough when I was a kid. No, your parents probably didn't paddle your backside enough. That's probably the problem. Okay. All right. So let's just go on. All right. The Bible says in Ezekiel 18:4 these words, the soul that sinneth, it shall what? Die. You see, when Adam ate that fruit, God said, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely do what? Die. Did he die that day? Not physically, but spiritually he did. And then he died 900 and some years, 959, I think it is, if I remember correctly, years down the road. Okay? That's a long time. But he died spiritually immediately, physically later. There's nobody in here that's going to live probably to see 150 to 200 years of age, is there? Not common. We're all going to die. Why? Because we are all sinners. We need to understand that. Okay? Romans 3:10 says, as it's written, there is none righteous, no, not one. I don't know if any of you like to listen to Dr. J. Vernon McGee, or do you have his commentaries, read his commentaries or anything? Anybody? Okay. Dr. J. Vernon McGee said, the reason that God put that last little phrase on there, those three words, as it is written, there is none righteous, so that nobody can say, except me. No, not one. That means everybody. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. God set up a standard, a measurement. We come short of that. We don't meet that standard. What's the standard, by the way? Christ. We can't measure up to Christ. I've had people tell me, well, when I die, I'm going to get up to the gate, and they're going to take my good works and my life, and they're going to put it up against, up against my bad, and I'm going to make it into heaven. No, you're not. Because you're not going to be judged by your good and your bad works. You're going to be judged by what Jesus Christ did on your behalf. And you can't compare. Amen? You're not going to make it. That's important. We understand that, all right? Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. You see, we're all sinners, folks. There's not a person in here today that's not a sinner. I don't care how old you are, how young you are a sinner. There are only two types of sinners in here. Those saved by grace and those lost and headed for hell. That's it. There's no in between. We're one in one category or the other. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Anybody ever met a sinless perfection person, a person who has never? You have, brother? Amazing, isn't it? Yeah, I met one myself years ago down in Pensacola. Said, I've never sinned. You just did, bub. You told a lie. No. I've never sinned. I've never done anything wrong. And I said, well, yeah, you have. And you just told me a lie because you are a sinner, because we are all sinners. And there's none of us that can escape that, okay? And so because we're all sinners, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And if we say that we haven't sinned, we lie and we're not living in truth, all right? I believe the Bible makes it clear that we are all sinners. So we all have sins or sin in our life. So which or what sin is going to send us to a reserve seat in the lake of fire? That's a good question, isn't it? Look at verse 8 of our text in Revelation chapter 21. Look at that text with me. It lays it out here. It says here, but the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, the murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And so we have a list given to us here. And the first thing on the list is faithful, or is fearful. Is there anybody in here who has never feared anything? We're all fearful of something, aren't we? Some people are fearful of death. I'm not afraid of death. Now, I don't want to, you know, walk out the door here and some 18-wheeler run over me. Okay, I don't want to go that way. How many would like to just go and you sleep? You just go to sleep and you just don't wake up. Well, you wake up, but you wake up in glory. And, you know, your body's left there wherever you went, wherever you parked it at for a while. Okay. But I'm not afraid to die. I had a woman many years ago put a 38 right here. I said, lady, pull the trigger or put it down. Let's talk. She shoots me. Where am I going? Heaven. I'm not afraid to die. I have no fear of death. My wife told me if I were a gentleman, I'd let her go first. So I will see. We'll see if I'm a gentleman or not. Okay. But we'll find out later. All right. The fearful. That word literally means faithless. Think about that. What do we have to fear, honestly, if God's in control? Come on. Nothing. But we do have fear, right? Let's look at the second one. The unbelieving. You say, well, that's faithless. Well, it is sort of in a sense, but it's the fact of disbelieving. That is without Christ. That's what it means here. These people have no belief in Christ or no belief in God, possibly. Third one is abominable. That is disgusting and detestable. Now, you and I say, well, I've never done anything like that. I can't be disgusting and detestable. Well, maybe not in our sight, but maybe in God's, possibly. Murderers. People who commit murder. Now, listen, folks, let's be honest. That is literally taking another life with intent to do so. If you're in a car accident and you know, someone dies as a result of your negligence or your whatever, and, you know, you didn't intentionally murder them, that might be, I guess, what would they call that, Brother Mark? Homicide or accidental death or they got another term for it. Huh? Manslaughter. That's it. Thank you. Manslaughter. You might call it manslaughter. Okay. But you didn't intend to commit murder. You didn't plan to. But this is talking, that literally means there, you know, thou shalt not commit murder. That literally means to do so on purpose, to kill, to take a life. Whoremongers. We all know what that is. Okay. That's people who lust after things and just go after things. And, you know, it's not only just of the sexual nature, it's other things also. Okay. Sorcerers. You look that up and that kind of has tendencies to lean towards pharmacy type stuff. It's actually magicians. That's what it is. Okay. So don't go down to Brookshire's and tell the pharmacist, Pastor Anderson said, or Preacher Anderson said, you're a sorcerer. I didn't say that. Okay. Idolaters. We know what idolaters are. Those are people that worship what? Idols. Have you ever figured out and understood, tried to understand somebody who bows down? I've been to several foreign countries. I've been to Bali, Indonesia, a couple of times and so forth and so on. And I've seen them over there and they walk around. You see it on TV. They walk around. They have these baskets on their head full of fruit and they take them out to these places where they have false gods set up and they set them down there for the false gods. I mean, nice looking stuff. And then they have to go back later and get what was left. What'd they get? All of it. The God ain't going to eat it. He can't hear, see, or do nothing. Okay? False gods. Idols. It's crazy. Now look at the last one. What does it say? Some liars. No, it says all liars. That means not truthful. Not honest or deceitful. Now you might deny it today, and I might deny it today, but you and I are going to fit into at least one of these categories or groups. Every one of us here probably would fit into the first and the last, because we've all feared something. We've been fearful. Am I right? And is there anyone in here today who would honestly lift up a hand and say, "Preacher, I've never told a lie"? Anybody? Who can honestly say, "I've never told a lie"? There's not a hand up in here. What's the matter with you folks? Don't you know you're going to go to hell if you lie? Huh? How many of you have ever eaten soap? Anybody in here ever eaten soap? Oh, wow! What'd you eat soap for? Is that a word? Huh? Oh, you were just bored. Oh, man. Picked on the wrong guy. Man, oh, man. Whee! What'd you eat soap for? Tuck your tongue out at mom? And she popped a bar of soap in there? Wow. Was it a bar of soap? Liquid. Well, when I was a young fella, about probably kindergarten or something, I said a curse word. And my aunt heard me. She took me in the bathroom, smacked me, shoved the bar of soap in my mouth when I opened, popped me on top of the head, and made me hold it in my mouth. Ah, that's the only time I ever had any soap. That was enough of that. Okay? But we all have said things or told somebody something that wasn't true at some point or time. Did Abraham lie? Did David lie? Yeah. Okay? We've all lied. We're all guilty of sin. Correct? According to this verse, all of us here are headed for the lake of fire. That's what it says. All liars. I know what some people are probably thinking. Wait a minute, preacher. You said there's only one sin that can send me to hell. But right here in this book, in this chapter, and verse number 8, there's a whole list that the Bible says those folks who do those things are going to find themselves in the lake of fire. Who then can be saved from the lake of fire? That's a good question, isn't it? Which sin can cause me to be sent to hell? That's another good question. What I want to do is, there's basically 2 points to the message. It's pretty simple. We're going to answer the questions. Question number 1, who then can be saved from the lake of fire? Now, I don't know about you, but I am not a Calvinist. Everybody know what a Calvinist is? Anybody that doesn't know what a Calvinist is? Okay, good. You don't. Okay, honey, good. That's not a problem. Hey, I went all the way through Bible college and really didn't know what a Calvinist was till I got to the end and I got tired of hearing about Calvinism, because where I went to school, where Pastor and I went to school, at that time you were not allowed to bring up the subject of Calvinism at all. If you were caught talking about Calvinism, you were put out of school. Yeah. They were hard on it. And I'm like, I don't know about it, so I looked it up. What they believe is that God predetermined who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved. In other words, God just looked around and he said, "All righty, I like you. I think I'll just take you to heaven. I'm not sure about you yet. I don't want to point at anybody, but he's just, you know, it's like some are predestined or predetermined to go to heaven and some are not. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. Do you believe the Bible teaches that? No, amen. I believe the Bible teaches these words that we find in Romans chapter 10, verse number 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, whosoever means who? If I put my name in there and I said, for if Glenn Anderson shall call upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. Is that a true statement? Yes. Whosoever means anybody. Anybody can be saved. I had a guy I witnessed to one time, and he said to me, he looked at me, he said, preacher, he said, you just don't understand how bad I am and the great amount of sin that I've committed and all this throughout my life. And I just don't believe God can save me because I'm too bad. And I said, well, your being bad is not the problem. The problem is you don't realize how good God is. And he is able to save anybody who will come to him. Believe it or not, I'll let him to the Lord right there. Baptize him later, a little bit later, within a week. Okay? We need to understand that, all right? Whosoever means you, it means the fearful, it means the murderers, it means the rapists, the robbers, the liars, and anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ can be saved. Everybody is eligible or can be saved. There's not anybody alive on planet Earth that cannot be saved. Christ died for all. When John the Baptist saw Jesus walking on the banks of the Jordan, what did he say? He said, behold, it means look, focus on the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God, which what? Taketh away the what? No, not plural. It's singular. Sin of the world. Read it. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. When Jesus came, he came to take away the penalty, the wage of all sin, period. There's no sin any human being can commit that Jesus Christ's blood can't cover. Understand that. Okay? That's important. It also says here, overcomers in our text. Verse number 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So it says that overcomers can inherit eternal life. They're going to go to heaven. Now, what does overcomers mean? Well, think about it this way. There are some who overcome some specific things, maybe some faults, maybe some sickness. Are they saved? Not necessarily. There are some that overcome specific sins, maybe drunkenness, maybe homosexuality, gluttony. That's one Baptists don't mention much. You never hear another preacher on gluttony, do we? Amen? Huh? I mean, you know, somebody says, all right, I've had enough. This is sin. I'm sick and tired of being a glutton. I'm sick and tired of eating. You know, I never will forget my dad telling about my uncle when he was young. He said, Donnie, he says, you coming over tonight? He says, we're having, and he's got a hot dog in his hand, a hot dog in his hand, and we're having fried chicken tonight. He's munching on two hot dogs. I don't know how much he weighed when he passed away, but he was huge. But someone that overcomes sin, does that make him saved? No, not necessarily. Right? Right? No, nothing. Overcomers of what then? Well, the answer to that is the overcomers are the ones who overcome the only sin that can send them to hell. This brings us to answer our second question. I got 10 minutes. To answer this question, which sin can cause me to be sent to hell? Look at John chapter 3 with me. We're going to answer it from the scriptures. John chapter 3. Son, you asleep? Bump him. Hey, whoa. Startling. You don't want to go to hell, do you? I don't want you to go there neither. Listen up, okay? All right, for me, please. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. Verse number 15, John chapter 3. Everybody there? Everybody got it? John chapter 3, verse number 15. Let's read together. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world For God sent not his son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. All right? So belief in Christ is what saves. That's important. Because most religions out there today are based on what? Works. In order to be saved, you know, you've got to do this. You've got to do that. You've got to give. You got to. I told my wife I wasn't going to mention that. I'm not going to say a word about it. You know, I don't do that all the time. I never did do that much. Okay. But, you know, you cannot work your way to heaven. That's impossible, folks. Imagine if you worked yourself to death. I heard Mother Teresa. Anybody know who Mother Teresa? You ever heard of Mother Teresa? Many of you have. Years ago, she was dying. And they interviewed her, and here's what she said. Her words, if I remember them, I may misquote a little bit, but I'm going to do the best I can. If I remember, she said, "I only hope I have gone far enough and done enough to get to heaven." Now, let me ask you a question, sincerely. Did she make it based on her belief? No. Now, they dubbed her a saint. But she's a saint burning in hell right now, if that's what she believes. Verse 15 uses the word believeth. Look at it. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, again, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There are two passages of Scripture that I think so illustrate this so very, very well. If you want to look them up with me, I'll turn there myself. Acts chapter 8. Look at it with me. Acts chapter 8. I'm going the wrong direction in my Bible. Can you believe that? I got to go back to the towards the front. Acts chapter 8. Let's take a look here. This is a story that you're very familiar with, the Ethiopian eunuch. I'm sure most of you are familiar with the story, but let's just find it. Let me get there and find my place here. I should have marked them so I could got to them faster. As you get old, your fingers don't work as good. The pages stick together more on you. And of course, this old Bible, I've had this Bible for about 20-something years, and I've preached and spit and slobbered and everything else. The pages stick to it. My wife won't even touch it. She said, "I ain't touching that thing." She said, "No." You know, I've actually gotten to the pulpit and tried to open to a page, and it's been stuck together. And I pull it open, you can hear it like that. That's happened a couple of times, all right? But it does happen, all right? But I want you to look here. In this passage of Scripture, let's begin just very, very quickly here, if we might do that. And let's begin in verse number. I don't know which one I want to start at. Let's just begin in verse number 35. The Bible says, "And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?'" So he asked him. He says, "Well, here's water. Why can't I be baptized?" What happens? "And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.'" And then you know the rest of the story. They stopped the chariot. They went down in the water, and Philip baptized him. Right? Correct? Now, Philip didn't say, "You got to do this or you got to do that." He said, "You got to believe." And the man said, "With all my heart, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That's the key. So many people today have this idea that it's Jesus and me. It's not Jesus and me. I heard a story many years ago of a fella who was a black person. And he visited a church. It was predominantly white folks. Okay. And he wanted to get baptized. And the deacon thought, "Okay, let's question him and we'll get this taken care of and settled real quick." So they said, "All right, now we want to know, we want you to tell us what happened." And he said, "Well, it's like this. I was lost, but now I'm found." And they said, "Well, tell us about your experience." And they said, "Well, it's real simple." They said, We got it. Well, he done his part and I done my part. And they said, what do you mean by his part and your part? We got him now. We got him. He said, well, it's like this. I done the running and he done the chasing. And he got me. He saved my soul. You see, it's not what we do. It's who we know. I owe, but Jesus, I know. Think about that. Look at another passage. This one really, I mean, illustrates it so beautifully. Acts chapter 16. The story of Philip and the Philippian jailer. Acts chapter 16. I almost preached on this morning and probably wish I should have, but I just felt this is where the Lord wanted me to go today. So, you know, maybe the next time I'll take you to this passage and talk about some things in this particular passage. Excellent passage of scripture here. Come on, let's be honest. All the Bible's good. Amen. We don't have time to go through and read all of this today. All right. But I want you to understand what's going on in this particular passage of scripture here. This Philippian jailer is an individual who was given charge to take care of Paul and Silas, who committed a heinous crime. A woman was possessed with a demon, a young woman, a damsel they call her, and Paul cast it out. Now the problem was, she was making those who owned her, she was a slave, money. And they got mad. And so they laid hands on Paul and Silas and they dragged them out and had them, you know, brought before a magistrate, and they were thrown in jail. They were given charge to place them in the innermost part of the prison. They were beaten with many stripes, cast into the innermost part of the prison, placed in stocks. Now, for most of us, what would we be doing in there? What would most Christians today be doing, especially today?
Oh, woe is me. God, what did I do to deserve this? I mean, come on. I can't believe, why am I in prison?
Come on, wouldn't we? Probably some would be doing worse than that. God, I'm mad at you. What did Paul and Silas do? They began singing praises and prayed to God. What happened to the jailer? Well, man, oh man, he witnessed the power of God. The only time that jailhouse rock is okay. God shook that prison to the foundations and all the doors in the prison flew open. That prisoner knew that if a prisoner escaped, his life was over. He runs in, he grabs a light, he runs in, he falls down before Paul. And I want you to look at verse 30. You can read the story. You probably already know it. He brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be what? Saved. That's the only place in the scriptures that I see, that I know of, where the point blank question is asked. What do I have to do to be saved? Now, there may be another one, but I may have missed it. But it's the only one that I'm aware of. Now, I want you to understand something. It says in verse 32, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And then you know the rest of the story. They were baptized. Okay. And so forth and so on. All right. But I want you to notice, what does it mean there when he spake the word? Well, here's what he did. Paul gave that jailer the gospel, the good news. What's the gospel? The fact that we're all sinners. There's not a sinless person in this room. Most of us have committed at least one sin this morning already. At least one. Am I right? He let the man know that he was a sinner. Then he told him that God had put a price on that sin. The wages of sin is what? Death. We have this misnomer today about death. We're taught in and by society today that death is just total annihilation. You die, that's it, you're gone. No, my friend, that is not the truth. That is the farthest thing from the truth. That is total deceit, total dishonesty, and a lie made up of the devil. Thank you, brother. Because that's only the beginning. I'm 68. Let me tell you something. 68 years on this planet ain't nothing. Some of you in here are 80 or above. And that's nothing neither, is it? It goes fast. We're all sinners. We are all going to die because we are sinners. But the death spoken of here is not a physical death. It's the second death. The wages of sin is eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. That's what death is. The death of spoken here. Too many people today, they try to soft soap that. We had a preacher in Pensacola and he when it came to the subject of hell, he wouldn't even use the word hell. He said the H word. He didn't want to offend anybody. Listen, folks, we need to understand that hell is just as real as heaven. And we're going to go to one place or the other. And there is one sin and one sin only that's going to send us to hell. And that is a lack of belief or faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. What Jesus did for us on the cross cannot be replicated or replaced or done away with. He died once and for all, for everybody. And there's nothing that you and I can do that can replace that. So we're all sinners. The wages of sin is death, but praise God. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm going to heaven. Well, sure, you're going to heaven. You're a preacher. No, I'm not going to heaven because I'm a preacher. Well, you're going to heaven because you're good. No, I'm not good. Just ask my wife. I mean, I'm good, but I'm not that good. Well, maybe I'm okay. I'm going to heaven not because I live right, because I don't always live right, because I'm a sinner. I'm going to heaven because at the age of 19, Pastor Henry Horton in Mesquite, Texas, took me in his office, opened the scriptures, and shared the exact same message with me Paul shared with that jailer. And right there in his office, I fell on my knees before his desk, with tears streaming down my cheeks, and I asked Jesus Christ to forgive my soul and save me from an eternity in hell. That's the realest it's ever been in my life, and it's never changed. I'll never forget it. When I do something wrong, does it bother me? Yes. It hurts. And I regret it always. I say something stupid. By the way, just because it comes up in here doesn't mean it has to come out here. Some things are better off, just don't say them. How do you get it? Well, there's only one way that I know of. That's the Bible way. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's it. Listen, nobody had to put words in my mouth. Nobody said, my pastor there, he didn't say, repeat after me. Of course, I was, 18, 19. He just asked me if I wanted to pray and ask the Lord to forgive me of my sin. And I knew exactly what to say. I knew I was a big time sinner. And I knew that I was going to spend an eternity in hell if I didn't trust in Christ right then and there. And so I asked him to forgive me. And you know what? He did right on the spot. I got up on knees, shook his hand, walked out the door of his office, walked out the big front glass doors of the church, walked across the parking lot to my vehicle, and I have never felt so clean in all my life. Why? Because I knew there was a sin that would send me to hell. And I knew Jesus Christ was the answer to my problem. And I trusted Jesus as my Savior. Maybe you're here today. I'm looking at you. Most of you are members of the church. Most of you know you've been around. You've been in this church longer than I have. But there might be one here today. Listen, I tell you, I don't know if I told you all before, but I remember years ago, took a group from Pensacola to church camp down at Pot of Gold. I think Steve Pickett was preaching. Steve Pickett, good youth evangelist. I went to the altars. My customary thing was to pray for God's will in the lives of the young people and adults alike. I knelt at the altar and I said, God, I know that there are members of our church, Pensacola Baptist Temple, that are lost. Their name's on the roll, but they're lost and they're going to hell. And I said a few other things and I stood up and I turned around and there was the chairman of my deacons behind me. And he said, Preacher, I've been a member of that church almost all my life. My mama carried me in her womb to that church when I was in the womb. And he said, I have been playing church my whole life. And I'm tired. I want to settle it. I need to be saved. Woo! God! I knew he was quick, but I didn't know he was going to be that fast. That next week, I think we had about 14 people, I think it was, in the church. Something between 10 and 15. Trust Christ. When Roger went home, he shared what happened to him. And there were people that came forward during the invitation and trusted Christ, and we baptized all of them at the same time. Your name may be on the roll here. You may have been on here a long time. You may be a charter member. You can still be lost. Understand this. The only sin that's going to cause you to go to hell is failure to acknowledge Christ as your only hope of eternal salvation. That's it. And by the way, don't go out here and say, tell the pastor, Preacher Anderson said, you know, that's the only sin that can send us to hell, so I can live like the devil. Now, that's not what I said. There's consequences for that too. Let's have a moment of invitation, if we might.